This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finley. Our topic is landlord-tenant and internet rental markets such as Airbnb, laws, issues, and disputes. My guests are Sal Timpano, landlord-tenant attorney with office in San Francisco, and Tad Devlin, business, real estate, and sharing economy attorney and partner in the San Francisco law firm of Kaufman, Dulowich, Volokh. This segment of Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the National Board of Trial Advocacy. It's also our Call a Lawyer Night that we do on a monthly basis, and the number is, if you'd like to jot it down, I hope you do, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Here in the studio, or at the station, KLW, we have criminal law, Jeffrey Hayden. We have estate planning, trust and probate law, John Martin, who you can call between now and 8 p.m. That's 650-430-4664. 650-430-4664. In the station, we have Jessica Chilik for landlord-tenant, Tagi Asanai for employment law, for tax law, real estate, and he's a real estate broker, Frank Adam, for patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde. And if you have family law issues, Janet Lee Frankel, a certified specialist in family law, will be available tomorrow, that's March 30th, from 9 until 11 a.m. If you want to jot down her number, 415-362-9533, 415-362-9533. If you're being haunted by debt collectors, Leon Baer, certified specialist, will be available tomorrow, Thursday, March 30th, from 8:30 a.m. to noon at 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. Well, Tad and Sal, it's great to have you here. Here's what we'll do, everybody. And for those of you who are listening to the live program, I want you to join us when you can and any time, and we'll get to you in just a few minutes. That's a toll-free number, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. We're doing this program live on Wednesday evening, March 29th. If you would, Sal, take a few minutes, just tell us, What's the problem? What are some of the things that you would like us, whether we're tenants or landlords, to be aware of? And then I'll turn to Tad and ask Tad to kind of give us a rundown on Airbnb, Craigslist, on these rental vacations. Go ahead, Sal, if you would.
Sure, Chuck. I'd love to. In California, state law doesn't have very many changes. It's been pretty stable for a long time. The San Francisco Rent Ordinance, there have been some changes in San Francisco administration regarding landlord tenants and the administration of rental units. Nothing very recent, but in the past couple of years there's been changes. It takes a while for those changes to actually make it into the community, so to speak. I will say that there's a rise, it appears, in owner move-ins and in Ellis Acts. It's a signal that landlords are trying to take back their properties.
Ellis Act means what? That's the state law, California state law.
Correct. It's a California state law. For those that are unfamiliar with it, it was passed years ago, and it allows a landlord to remove their property from the rental market. In essence, they go out of business as a landlord
for how long?
So when they do go out of business, they have to go out for a minimum of 5 years and perhaps even 10.
Really?
Depending on how they do it. In a nutshell, if they reoffer the unit back into the rental market within 5 years, they have to offer it to the tenant that vacated it.
I see.
If that tenant refuses it, then the landlord can rent it out.
Really?
And they would have to rent it out at the rate that it was rented out before, plus any rent increases that would have applied.
So in other words, if the landlord, 4 years later after getting a tenant out, and let's say the landlord legitimately and honestly is living in the unit, him or her or themselves, mm-hmm. if the landlord 4 years later decides to want to rent it to Mr. So-and-so, and it goes back to the tenant who was there, and the tenant says, no, I don't want to come back, then the landlord, to rent that unit, has to rent it out at the same rental amount that the previous tenant was paying four years earlier.
If the previous tenant wants to come back, they're going to pay the rent that they were paying before, and they're plus whatever rent increases would apply. They will pay that old rent, so it's not a very good scenario for a landlord.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. Though if a landlord under the Ellis Act is supposed to not re-rent it for 5 years or so,
yes,
then if the landlord decides that he or she or they want to rent it within 4 years, let's say.
Okay.
But the previous tenant says, no, I don't want to be there. If we've got some new tenant coming in, what is the rental going to be?
So the new tenant would pay market rent.
Would pay market rent, not the original rent that the former tenant was paying.
Correct.
Okay. Let me go to Tad now. Tad, I know you have become an expert in the area of Airbnb, and apparently also, and much to my lack of knowing this, Craigslist also is involved with these vacation rentals. I know you also do landlord-tenant, but what's going on with these vacation rentals using Airbnb or Craigslist as, let's say, the focus that maybe you might focus on at this point?
Sure. Thanks, Chuck, and thanks for having us on the program.
Well, of course, yeah.
Separate and apart from the vacation issues, I think there's just ongoing tensions. They're probably never going to go away. Neighbor disputes about, you know, those who are renting, those who are not, those who are sharing their spaces or oversharing, whether or not that violates the CC&Rs, if it's a multi-unit, HOAs, a landlord-tenant relationship.
The CC&Rs, what's that in regular language? What does that mean?
The rules, if you live in a community with others, perhaps in a condo situation, you got to have, covenants, conditions, and restrictions. How many parking spaces can you use, and, you know, what color can your patio be painted and such? Can you have a barbecue outside? And some of it's a little ticky-tack, in my opinion, but noise issues as well.
This would be for homeowners associations, is that primarily?
Primarily. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that could implicate your ability to rent your space out or to occupy somebody else's space through one of these Airbnb or VRBO or Craigslist, like we were talking about off the air. I was just having a discussion with some folks the other night. And it's still there. It doesn't have ads. It still has that flea market presentation.
You're talking about Craigslist does?
Yeah, but by golly, mm-hmm. it works. It's a nice cross-reference point for mm-hmm. a consumer, anybody who's going to go on a vacation, yeah. To our fine city or outside of it, to get as much information. And there's plenty of it online, so you know the landscape before you go, and to really do your due diligence, because although there are many, many happy stories that I could share and bore you with about my family trips, the news items that pop up are cautionary tales. And the most recent one I happened to stumble across was they rented their home out to somebody, a family that they thought was a nice family of three or four. They had never met the family. The family didn't show up the first night, so there was no meet and greet. The host decided to come by and bring a care package and make sure they were okay, and the house was ransacked, and $20,000 worth of stuff was missing.
Oh.
You can't prevent anything, but
wow.
you can do what you can to know what you're doing before you get into it. So
when you mentioned Tad that you can get info online, in other words, if this is a potential renter who wants to use, whether it's Airbnb or Craigslist or perhaps one of these other internet vacation or rental markets, how do you find the information online? What do you do? Where do you find it?
Yeah, you go to the platform itself, and it's got user and guest ratings, so that's very helpful. And then you can try to go behind those curtains and go further and use TripAdvisor. You can use VRBO, Vacation Rental by Owner, Craigslist, Google.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
TripAdvisor is one of these one of these things on the internet that actually you can do some research on whether or not this place on 2515 Sunset Boulevard or whatever it is, it may have some information about what other renters may have thought of their staying at this place. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, a lot of these hosts will use multiple platforms to get their places rented. And
I see.
I would go to other sources beyond those if you can, and even go to neighboring properties, which is a little secret. And
what does that? What do you mean, go to neighboring properties?
You know, if it's in a, a lot of folks will use their timeshares and then sell those weeks or have their condo and see if there's other units in that same development or neighboring, and just see if it's a consistent flavor so that you're, when you get there, it's it is the place on the beach that you want, and not a barn with hay in it or whatever. Maybe you want the barn with the hay.
Well, maybe I'd like to have the horse to ride. Well, I don't want the hay, but
and the horse you came in on. I mean, yeah. I think also what is important is I wouldn't just rely upon what's presented online. I mean, you still got to use the good old fashioned phone, and a face to face is. That'll really seal it, you know.
Well, that's one thing. If you're dealing with, let's say, some vacation spot, perhaps, let's say in California, what if you're thinking of going to some other state? What general recommendation would you have for someone who wants to use one of these internet rental vacation markets?
Well, first I would check with Immigration Council in light of the current administration. I'm sorry, I had to take the easy.
You couldn't resist.
Nice going, man.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing, and yeah, you do have a disconnect with the distance.
Yeah.
That said, most people have these phones where you can see the people on the phone. You can also work within your credit card company and the platform to get some level of assurance through insurance. So if it's you know, that big of a trip and you're going to put out that much money and resources on it, I would make sure that you have some couple of levels of recourse other than having to get into litigation or something.
Wow. Before we take another very brief moment where I alert the people who are listening to the live program, the phone numbers that we have. You mentioned something that was amazing to me as we were preparing for the program, Tad, and that is with drones that are becoming very big and very, very numerous, that there may be neighbor wars. Briefly, what are you talking about? Or what is your concern?
Well, it's happening. I mean, everyone's got surveillance now or a phone that'll, you know, take a video. I've got clients who show up and they've got them taking a video of the neighbor taking a video of them, and they're both alleging privacy invasion and you're being too noisy and you're,
how lovely,
you're stalking me. And it's a little bit sad, but that, and
it's
the
scary.
Drones are,
it's
being used too, so people are using drones and cameras to figure out if your neighbor is breaking the rules.
I love it.
They either got an axe to grind with you on a prior garbage dispute or who knows what, but then they're going to try to get the city involved to get the city's task force to come on over because they've got a division down at City Hall there, and they've got a team. And these issues are big because they're, according to, you know, recent periodicals, Airbnb says it's got 10,000 listings in San Francisco.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And only 2,000, this is from the Silicon Valley Business Journal. So that,
and 2,000 what?
Only 2,000 have their permits.
Okay. But let me ask you to take a pause for just a moment. Okay, everybody, I want to let you know that if you'd like to call in now, our toll-free number, we're doing this program live on Wednesday, March 29th. You can call in now and speak with my guests on the air if you have questions, landlord-tenant or Airbnb or vacation rentals, etc. 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. 8255 for speaking on the air with my guests, your questions or comments or whatever. It's also our monthly regular Call a Lawyer night. That magic number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. At the station, we have Jeff Hayden. He's the chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization for Criminal Law. We have landlord-tenant law Jessica Chilek, employment law Taghi Asanai, tax law real estate, he's also a real estate broker, Frank Adam, and patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde. If you have family law questions, Janet Lee Frankel, a certified specialist in family law, will be available tomorrow, Thursday, March 30th, from 9 to 11 a.m. If you'd like to jot down her number, 415-362-9533, 415-362-9533. Estate planning, trust, and probate law, John Martin will take your calls this evening until 8 p.m. That number is 650-430-4664, 650-430-4664. And last but not least, tomorrow, Leon Bayer, certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available, that's Thursday, March 30th, from 8:30 a.m. to noon, to talk with you, 800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111, that's from 8:30 a.m. to noon tomorrow. Our toll-free number for On the Air to this evening is 866-798-8255. All right, let's take our first caller. I'm waiting to see where... I guess we don't... All right. I don't know what happened there. Sal, you mentioned that there's an increase in the owner move-in, but you're handling some cases for tenants in this. What's the problem here?
Yeah, so... we've got several cases at the same time where we're representing tenants who are being displaced pursuant to owner move-in notices. And appears to be happening is that the landlords are actually performing work to the property before they're even getting the tenants out.
Which is really, I presume, would be a violation of the noise standards under California law.
Well, things like that are occurring, and it seems odd because these are the types of things that would normally be done after the owner move-in is completed.
Well, sure.
But these are...
Is that a violation? That's a violation, I presume,
well,
of the landlord-tenant agreement, is
there,
it not?
There are certain... noise requirements in the city that have to be complied with. Also, depending on the type of construction, there could be a lot of dust and other chemicals that are released.
Which could get people ill, I presume.
And that's a big concern on the cases that we're handling. It's a big concern for the tenants to be in these buildings where there's pretty much heavy construction going on.
If, for example, and I know your practice is primarily in San Francisco, using San Francisco and San Francisco's government as an example, if someone is being confronted with this, that as you're describing, the landlord wants to take over, but before taking over, we still have some tenants there and is starting construction. What should the tenant do to try to get any help from the government, if possible?
Well, the first thing they should do is call the San Francisco Bar Association and get an attorney.
Really?
That's the first thing they should do.
Before even going to some of the city offices,
the second phone call would be to city offices as well. But the order of who is called should probably be done after they speak to an attorney.
Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
Because sometimes it's, in my experience, it's better not to make a complaint to the Department of Building Inspection in San Francisco unless it's a legitimate complaint. And sometimes tenants will make a complaint, the city comes out, and there's nothing to complain about.
I see.
So, you know, they've got to be the judge of their own reasonableness regarding their calls.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably better for them to call an attorney first.
I see. Okay. Well, let's take our first call. I believe, I hope I pronounce your name correctly. Is it Phillip? Hello?
Hello. Hello?
Yeah, is this Philip or Phyllis or what?
Philip.
Philip. Well, Philip, thank you. Join us. You're on the air.
Well, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I hope this isn't a frivolous question.
Well, Philip, it better not be. Go ahead.
Okay. In my younger days, the only way that I was ever able to find a place to live that just didn't eat up everything aside from what was left over for food was by doubling up with a lot of guys in one apartment.
Yeah.
Now, I tried to do that again later and was told by the agency that I could absolutely not do that, that it was illegal, and not only that, but more than, I think she said, four people who are unrelated may not cohabit the same apartment.
Are you talking now about, are you in San Francisco? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yes, this was San Francisco. At
okay,
time.
So is
my question is that true?
Is that still the case? Let me get some comments, starting with you, Sal, and then you Tad, if you would, Sal. Please.
Sure. Now, it depends. You mentioned the agency. Do you have what agency?
What
well,
agency?
Just a rental agency. I was looking for large. I wanted to rent a very large flat with several rooms and then sublet the rooms so that I wouldn't have to kill myself with rent.
I got you.
Okay. Well, there's nothing in the rent ordinance that prevents you from doing that. It's not illegal, according to state or city law. You can bring in roommates up to the occupancy requirements. Sometimes landlords will have in their leases that you're not allowed to do that. However, that would conflict with the rent ordinance that allows people to live with who they choose to. So once you rent the unit, it's your unit. Mm-hmm. So if you've got enough room for three people, you can bring in three people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to be at the same status as you. You're going to be a master tenant. You cannot force your landlord to take them on as master tenants. There's only going to be one master tenant, and that's going to be you.
Is this something, Philip, that you are planning on doing right now, or is it just something of the past that you wanted to get some info on?
Well, it was the past, but it may be the future.
I see. I got you. You know, my thought for you, as Sal discussed just a couple of minutes ago, with respect to, let's say, tenants who are being barraged with either construction or noise or whatever, with a landlord who wants to kick the tenant out, I really think, and I'm not trying to promote business for lawyers, but I think it really makes sense, as Sal has suggested, if you're seriously thinking about this, and since you are in San Francisco, I think you should contact the lawyer referral service of the San Francisco Bar and get a half an hour consultation with an attorney who represents, let's say, landlords, because you want to become a landlord. You'll pay, I think, $35. It's a great investment. I don't know if you've ever done this, but I think it's a great investment in getting your basic information about what you can or cannot do.
Well, that's certainly a reasonable fee. What was the name of it?
Well, it's the Lawyer Referral Service of the San Francisco Bar, and I will give that phone number in just a few minutes, so stay with us, and I'll give it at the point in just about 10 minutes or so, and I suggest that you call them. One of the funders of this program is the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, and has been for many, many years. And the beauty of lawyer referral, wherever you are in the state of California, because most counties have bar associations and lawyer referral services, that whether it's $25 or $35, whichever county you may be in, that money does not go to the lawyer. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep the service going. So it's a great service. So, Philip, if you would, continue to listen to the program for the next few minutes, and what we'll do is I'll give you the phone number for the lawyer referral service, and you might want to make yourself an appointment. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Hey, take care. Bye-bye. Tad, did you have any comments for Philip?
No, I my comments are in line with Sal's. I would just add that, yeah, you just want to make sure that you check out your lease, and if it has a restriction on subletting or assignment.
Oh, yeah.
But also, I think an important point is, I mean, who knows? These guys that he wants to move in with could be family members, and even if they're cousins or nephews, I'm not aware of any restrictions on your ability to live with family members. It may be drama and tension to live with family members, but it'll offset your costs. So.
Okay, let's take another call. Christian, welcome to your... Oh, pardon me, I'm sorry. Rick is the next one. Rick, welcome to your legal rights.
Yeah, hi, good evening, gentlemen. Let me give you some facts, and then I can ask you a quick question.
Sure, go ahead.
I live in Marin in Mill Valley, top floor of an old barn, 600 square feet. And I've been here 8.5 years. So the first year there was a lease, and then we went to a month-to-month for the last 7.5 years, and both myself and the landlord cannot find the lease. So we just have a month-to-month undocumented tenancy.
Yeah, okay.
My landlady just raised my rent $700 a month.
Raised it an additional $700?
Right.
From what? What was it before?
$1,500 to $2,200.
Ooh, wow.
And
that must be a pretty nice barn.
Yeah, I'm definitely planning on leaving, probably leaving the area, because I just can't afford to live here. But sure. The issues are as follows. She didn't serve me with legal notice. She sent me an email, and she only gave me 45 days notice. I know she has to give me 60 days notice, and I know it has to be in writing. My question is as follows. I actually responded to her email. I didn't say yes, I didn't say no. I just said, please, could you send me a copy of the lease?
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that I've written to her. I'm wondering whether, by responding to the email, does that legitimize the email notice?
No.
The second question is, do I have an obligation to inform her, or can I just wait? And I probably won't pay rent in May because I did pay last month's rent originally. Fortunately, I have a copy of that check stub.
Mm-hmm.
And when she says something to me, I can just say, you know, you haven't given me notice yet. And then she's so really, I've got until July 1st. Although I think I may have found something in Arizona.
Let me get some comments for you. If you'll
sure,
turn your radio back up and let me get some comments.
Thank you. I will do.
Sal, you first, and then Ted, if we can.
Okay, Rick, you're correct. Under state law, you're entitled to 60 days notice. It's got to be written on paper. An email might be considered a writing, but it's electronic. It's got to be on paper,
yeah.
And it's got to be served to you either personally or by mail. Mm-hmm. You don't have that, so she doesn't have an enforceable rent increase for you to pay. So you just pay your regular rent, and you'll be complying with your oral lease. At mm-hmm. this point, you had a written lease, but who knows where it is? So you've got, you know, all you've got is your performance. So your lease consists of how much you've been paying rent and when you pay it. That's your lease.
Does he have to respond to her?
No.
At this point, he does not.
No, you don't have to. You requested a copy of your lease. You don't have to respond to her. You don't legitimize. You don't trump state law by responding to the email. Mm-hmm. You don't waive her obligations.
Ted, do you have any comments for Rick?
I don't think he needs to go to Arizona. I don't think he's under proper notice, and I think he can stay right there in Mill Valley.
Okay, she could give him a 60-day notice to kick him out, though, could she not?
It depends whether or not there's a rent ordinance there.
I see.
I don't know if there is.
All right.
No, I'm not aware of. Yeah, I'm not aware of rent control in Marin. They don't have a similar rent ordinance. She's got to still comply with state law and then whatever. Yeah. Governing Mill Valley or town authority there is on that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I think we are getting to the point where we are ending the statewide version of the program. I don't know if you all realize this, but the first half hour is recorded. It's then sent out to a number of stations in California. And this first half hour is then aired next week on these stations that take the recorded program. So we are going to, at this point, end the statewide version, and stay with us because we will be taking more of your calls. Okay, everybody, here is our toll-free number. We'll get to you. It's 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. My guests with me in the studio here are Tad Devlin, a business, real estate, and sharing economy attorney. He's a partner in the San Francisco law firm of Kaufman, Dolowich, Volokh. My other guest with me in the studio is Sal Timpano, landlord-tenant attorney with office in San Francisco. So feel comfortable to call in and ask questions, whether it's landlord-tenant California law or if you're thinking of going with one of these internet rental markets such as Airbnb or even Craigslist has it. Join us with those questions. And for those of you who might have questions, it is our, we're doing this program live on Wednesday evening, March 29th. It's our regular Call a Lawyer night. We have several attorneys here at KALW. That special 800 number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. With us here is the chair of the California Board of Legal Specialization, Jeff Hayden, who is a criminal law specialist. Family law, by the way, if you have a question on that, certified specialist Janet Lee Franco will be available tomorrow. That's March 30th from 9 to 11 a.m. if you want to talk with her. Jot down her number, 415-362-9533, 415-362-9533. If you have a question about estate planning, trust, or probate law, John Martin, who's a certified specialist, is in San Mateo, and he'll be available this evening until 8 o'clock to take your calls, 650-430-4664, 650-430-4664. With us here at the station for landlord-tenant is Jessica Chilik, employment law Tagi Astanahi, for tax law, real estate broker Frank Adam, for patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration, Ron Rohde. And tomorrow, if you are being chased by your creditors, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available to talk with you. By the way, none of this is any obligation on your part whatsoever. These attorneys are doing this as a public service. Leon will be available tomorrow, Thursday, March 30th, from 8:30 until noon, and that's 1-800-477-3111, 1-800-477-3111. And for both Philip and Rick, let me give you the phone number for the Lawyer Referral Service for the Bar Association of San Francisco in just a moment. Be ready to write now. Support for KLW is provided by the Bar Association of San Francisco. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation in both San Francisco and Marin County, Rick. So I wanted you to be aware of that. And for a referral to a lawyer or the Bay Area Mediation Services Program of the San Francisco Bar, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California that has a bar association and a lawyer referral service, call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is, and they'll find someone for you who's experienced. And for a half an hour consultation, with minor exception throughout California, you'll pay between $25 and $35 for that half an hour consultation. That money does not go to the attorney. It goes to the lawyer referral service to keep the service going. It's a great public service. For those of you in the Bay Area, the San Mateo County District Attorney's Office Victim Services Unit is having a special event, community event, next week on Wednesday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to 11. It's entitled 2017 National Crime Victims Right Week Commemorative. Victims, survivors, and victim service providers are welcome to attend in order to learn about community resources. And this will be at, actually they've entitled this Strength, Resilience, Justice. It'll be on Wednesday, April 5th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at the Sobrato Center for Nonprofit, that's Shoreway Conference Room, 350 Twin Dolphin Road, Twin Dolphin Drive, Redwood Shores. If you'd like more information and would like to reserve a place, here's the number if you'd like to jot that down for Wednesday, April 5th. It's 650-312-8975, 650-312-8975. All right, let's take another call, and I thank you all for your patience on this. And the next person, I believe, is Rebecca. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Well, come on.
Is this Rebecca?
This is Christian.
Oh, I'm sorry, Christian.
I was the first person to call. But
I'm so sorry. Hey, Christian, I'm sorry. There is a light, the way this has been set up, it's kind of mixed up and my fault. You're on the air, Christian. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm in the Moser building. I'm four blocks from the Hilton. And you scared me half to death when you started out and somebody said that there's a possibility that the owner of a building can kick you out after 4 years for some reason or another. I've been in my unit 33 years
Ooh,
now.
Wow.
It's just a small unit. There's 36 units in the building. He did every unit, never set a foot in mine. And it was built in 1908.
Oh,
you
wow.
can imagine the condition that it's in.
Wow.
But it's mine, and it's all I got. If they kick me out, I'll go out the window.
Ooh, I'm don't do that,
Christian. I'm on floor four.
Mm-mm.
Can they kick me out at all for any reason?
Are you now, Christian, are you now on any kind of a written lease, or is it a month?
Yeah, I filled out 7 pages when he moved in.
Well,
he moved in November, 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. So
and
you
he
have
made me go down to the lawyer's office
all right.
and give him the lawyer and give the lawyer the and I imagine that he just took a copy of it because he gave me the original back. Which I, of course, being very special,
and
kept everything. I have everything. This was a slumlord that owned this before he took it over.
Yeah. Christian, let me interrupt you for a moment. In this lease that you have signed, does it have a period of time that it's covering?
That I don't know.
Oh, have you read the lease? No, you haven't. Okay, you got to do that, man.
I didn't read it completely, but all it asked me was my name, my address, when I moved in.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept going on and on and
all
on.
Right, all right, let me get some comments for you. Turn your radio back up, if you would, so you can hear what my guests have to say. Okay?
So I just have to hang up, right?
Hang up, and if you're listening to your radio, listen to the answer on the by the radio. Would you do that?
Yes, I will, sir.
Okay, thanks so much for being patient. Go ahead, Sal. What thoughts?
Oh, hi, Christian. So I think your question was, can you be evicted? You know, the answer to that is you can, but the probability, you know, is nothing that you said seems like it's a high probability that you're going to be evicted, or even a reasonable probability. I don't think you're going to be evicted. It's a large building.
What he said is that I could be evicted in 4 years. Remember, you were talking about something about that.
Yeah. So
can you clarify that for him?
Yeah, I think what you heard at the beginning of the program was a discussion about the Ellis Act, which is a state law that allows landlords to exit the rental business on a particular piece of property.
What that means, Christian, is that the landlord under the Ellis Act has a right under certain limitations of the law to essentially give you notice to get out.
Right, you and everybody else in the building.
Yeah.
So everybody would have to go out essentially at the same time.
In all of those units.
In all the units. So then the landlord would have an empty building. And that would come with some relocation money to assist in moving to another unit. Now, you've been there 33 years, so your rent is probably well below market. So for you, the relocation money might not be enough because you're paying rents from 30 years ago. You know, I mean, you're updated a bit through increases perhaps, but nonetheless, your base rent is still very, very low. So the relocation money for you may not be that much. This is not intended to frighten you. I didn't hear anything in what you said that would indicate to me that you need to be worried about an Ellis Act. The other thing a landlord could do is an owner move-in. Why would the owner move into your unit?
Not at this point.
I mean, it just
doesn't sound. Ted, do you have any comments for Christian?
No, I mean, I'd be echoing what Sal said. I think he's doing, but it sounds like a SRO situation. I don't think I don't think he needs to be concerned with an Ellis Act or an owner move in.
Yeah. So don't worry so much. But again, Christian, because I'm a real believer in people educating themselves.
Yeah, you might want to talk to a lawyer.
Yeah, I really think it would be worth it for you. You're in San Francisco. I think it would be worth it for you to call the lawyer referral service for the San Francisco Bar. I gave that phone number a couple of minutes ago. I think it would be worth it for you to call and see if you can get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants for half an hour. I presume you can afford to pay $35. And if you didn't get the number, let me give it to you again, 415-989-1616, 415-989-1616. I'm a real believer. I've been for 32 years, a deputy DA in consumer protection for San Mateo County. I'm a real consumer advocate, and I'm a real believer in people educating themselves. I mean, you just don't want to take a chance on something, and there is a lot that you can educate yourselves on without spending an arm and a leg.
Chuck, let me jump in on that, and I don't want to take bread off your
table or
the bars, but they will even consider, I understand, that the bar will consider under certain qualifying criteria to waive the $35.
Sure. Of course they will. So, of course they will.
Yeah. So anyway. So, but yeah, you get the information, and it's a good bang for your buck.
Yeah.
It's probably the best deal in town, because getting displaced in this market under a rent control, it can be. You can have a double your rent or more situation. It's very economically unpleasant.
So stop worrying so much, Christian, and perhaps be a little bit more aggressive and call the Bar Association, see if you can get an appointment so that you don't have to be worried about this all the time. All right, we're going to take a call. By the way, again, our Call a Lawyer night, which we do every month, usually the fourth Wednesday of the month. We're doing it the last Wednesday of the month because last week we did a special Call a Lawyer night on immigration law. So that number for Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. If you want to call in, please do so. The attorneys will be here for just a little under 20 minutes. We will end the Call a Lawyer night at the same time we end the program. All right, Marie, welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
I live in San Francisco in a 3-unit building. The landlady who lived in the building died a few months ago, and the family is going to put the building up for sale.
Yeah.
And my question is, just in general, how much time, when they sell the building, how much time would I have to legally, how fast can they try and get me out of here?
Are you under a written lease at this point, Marie?
Yeah, I've been here for about 20 years.
Oh, you have? Okay.
And I do have a copy of my lease. I was listening to the prior, one of the prior caller. I do have a copy of it.
And is it something that, are you now on, do you know if you're covered by rent control, San Francisco rent control, or not?
Yes, I am covered by that, and I'm also a senior citizen. I'm 74 years old. So, anyway, just in general, what kind of protection could I have?
Stay on the line, if you would, Marie. Tad, let me start with you. Do you have some thoughts for Marie?
Yeah, I do. I mean, it sounds like she's got her documents in a row, and that's good in terms of the lease, and she's been there with a lengthy history, so she knows the landscape. With the new owner, the owner takes subject to your being there, so you don't lose any of your rights. I haven't heard any facts yet that the owner is intending to displace all the tenants, but certainly that's what that can be what happens here in San Francisco. I think she needs to talk to somebody and get ready and talk to an attorney and know the timelines and the procedures that are required. And she might have had to sign a tenant disclosure upon the property changing hands, so she should keep all those documents in a file and talk with somebody and see what her rights are, because if she gets the notice, it's better to be know your information and your options ahead of time rather than scrambling when you get the notice, because that can be kind of stressful.
Yeah, Sal, please.
Yeah, so in answer to your question, Marie, you know, an owner move-in, you're entitled to 60 days notice, so you're going to have 2 months there. Then if the lawsuit is filed, it's going to take 2 to 3 months to resolve that eviction lawsuit. So you're looking at 4 to 5 months if it's an owner move-in.
Mm-hmm.
If it's an Ellis Act, because of your age, you'll have up to 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of that year, you know, if you don't leave, then it's going to be a couple of months, 2 or 3 months of litigation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, litigation can always take longer. It usually doesn't take shorter. If anything, it's going to be longer. So, you know, in answer to that question, you're looking at anywhere from 5 months to 12 months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Right. And, you know, if everybody's paying low rent in that building, the likelihood of an eviction is probably pretty high. Because if investors are buying it...
Another quick question. Mm. Because the landlady lived in this building, if the owner, the new owner of the building wanted to move in, there is an empty unit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So would they... that wouldn't be extra protection that they do have an empty unit in the building to move into.
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of extra protection, but they can still move in relatives into the other units.
Okay.
So if they have a relative that's also of age...
when you say of age,
I believe it's 62.
Okay.
There's 60 and 62 throughout the rent ordinance, depending on what's going on. But I think in this one it's 62. So if they have a relative that's 62 years old, they can move them into your unit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, I haven't heard any facts that this is going to happen, but.
No, I haven't either.
Yeah.
And I just found out that indeed the family, because they are four siblings, mm-hmm. that they have decided. But since tonight, I listen to this show most of the time. So since tonight's topic, you know, pertained to my possible situation, I thought I'd give in a call.
Well, I'm glad you did, Marie. I'm glad you did. Again, as we have discussed, because you are in San Francisco, certainly, if you start getting more fearful about what's going on, I highly recommend to you take advantage of the fact that the lawyer referral service of the Bar Association...
Oh, I have used them before.
Oh, have you? Okay, good.
Because of one of your shows when I had gotten injured at work, and I was scrambling, you know, to take care of everything, and mm-hmm. I happened to tune in and... went in there and got a lawyer, and everything went just fantastic.
Well, good for you. Good
yeah,
for you. Okay.
Yeah, no, well, your show is great. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Take care, Marie. And
thank you.
I'm glad you called. All right.
Okay.
We have Rebecca. Finally, Rebecca. You know, I got Christian all annoyed because I couldn't see correctly. Rebecca, it's your turn.
Hi.
Hi.
So thanks for taking my call, first and foremost.
Of course. Of course.
And I have a question. So I've been at my unit for, it'll be 2 years this August.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Three years.
3 years. Okay.
And lately, actually for the last year, over a year maybe, little by little, we've been experiencing a lot of mold, especially in the master bedroom. It's a 3-bedroom apartment. A lot of mold buildup, a lot of mildew. It's just all smusty. And we were just doing some spring cleaning. We moved my mom's bed, and she's in the master bedroom that leads out to the little patio balcony that's outside. We're on the downstairs. And we noticed and we found a mushroom the size of, like, an adult hand.
You're in Marin County, right?
I live in Marin County, yes.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So... after that, we're freaking out. We're like, oh my God, you know, like, this is really bad, Mom, you know. And then we noticed as we were moving the furniture that the walls, they had black patches. And one corner of her bedroom is always wet. It's always wet, and it's just smells, the smell, I mean, my clothes, our furniture, everything was ruined.
There must be a leak of a pipe somewhere, Rebecca. That's
yes.
what it sounds like. So, but go ahead.
So we expressed the concern to the landlord's secretary, which is in San Francisco. My mom goes every there every month, the first of the month, and pays them personally and gives them the cashier's check. And she talks to the lady and says, you know what, these are my concerns, this is what's going on. And the lady says, okay, no worries, I'm going to write up a work order, which is her job to do so, and then they will assess the problem. And this has been going on for several months.
So with no person or work persons showing up, is that right?
So nobody has showed up until I made a phone call to the Environmental Health Services and said, and I told her my concerns because my sister has asthma, and I don't even know if this is related, but she has had two chest infections since we lived there for 2 years now. So I don't know if that's related or not, but regardless, her asthma could be worsened because of the situation. And our furniture has gotten damaged due to mold. My clothes smell. I mean, our mattresses smell, everything. And now that I've expressed my concerns to the Environmental Health Services, which she's coming in a couple days to check out the place, now these people want to come in and tear down the walls in my mom's bedroom, tear out the bathroom floor, and then they expect us to still live there.
No, you can't live there. Let me get some comments. You have a very serious problem, but again, since you're in San Rafael, that's Marin County, and again, I think if you have not looked to try to get an attorney to at least give you some basic legal advice on this, Rebecca, I think you should. The San Francisco Bar Association's Lawyer Referral Service also covers Marin County. So I think you might want to give the Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service a call. Did you get that number?
Hold on a second.
Listen, everybody, from now on, when you listen to this program, this is a team effort. You are part of the team. If you're listening to this program, you are part of the team. You've got to have either a pen or pencil and a piece of paper. I'm not kidding. I mean, this is important. And the number for the Lawyer Referral Service for both San Francisco and Marin County, Rebecca, is 415-989-1616. 415-989-1616. And now what I want you to do, you have a very serious problem here, in my opinion, as a consumer advocate, as someone who's been trying to help consumers for many, many years, and I've been a lawyer for a long, long time and a deputy DA for 32, you need to see a lawyer. But what I'd like you to do now is turn your radio back up if you've been listening to the program on radio, and I'll have my guests respond to you, but you do need on your own to see a lawyer face to face. Okay, thanks. We don't have more time. I want you to listen to what my guests have to say, Rebecca. And you turn the radio back on, okay?
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Go ahead. Tad, do you have a comment to begin with?
Yeah, I do, Sal. Thanks. I unfortunately just had another, it sounds like a similar case that I just came across my desk that I referred out. But in any event, there's definitely things you can do to protect yourself and your family. I don't think you can live there. I would get
no.
I think it's, and I'm not a doctor, and nor does Chuck or I play one on TV. You probably get your doctors that are going to write you a note saying this is related. The chest infections. It sounds unlivable. It sounds like an implied warranty of habitability breach. Clear, and you're entitled to. I would say, I want to say back rent. You're probably entitled to disgorge your rent and get your rent back.
Yeah.
Perhaps even your attorney's fees, because there's probably an attorney's fees clause in the lease. And I'm not going to say go guns a-blazing for litigation, but I think you're entitled to your rent back.
Yeah.
I think you're entitled to probably your fees and your costs from going through the troubles, your medical bills, your costs of displacement. I don't know if I'd want to live there again. And maybe if it's been completely retrofitted and then certified as livable and there's no free of mold, I would talk to a tenant's advocate who's versed in these areas.
I certainly agree with you, Sal.
And you
comments?
Cannot live there. You got to get out of there.
Yeah, you certainly do.
Yeah, I agree. You should take matters into your own hands. Move out. Document the money you spend.
Mm-hmm.
Let the landlord know that you're moving out. Until the place is cleared, or the issue is abated. If you haven't reported it to the, I think you did report it, but if you haven't reported it to the Department of Building Inspection out there in San Rafael, you should, so that they can come out and make their report.
That's crucial. And you should take also, Rebecca, if you haven't done this, you should take photographs of everything. Yeah. Everything that is a problem that you can see there, you should take photographs and document this. The other thing that I think that I might do if I were in your situation, I might want to contact a plumbing contractor and have someone come out and give you an idea of what an experienced person in plumbing might say is going on behind that wall. And that may be something that you would want to have as part of your armor in dealing with this thing, as Tad has suggested, that you might be entitled, you and your family might be entitled to get back a great deal of your back rent since you've been subjected to this. So I hope you will go see a lawyer and get yourself really oriented in terms of a good direction. We have just a couple more minutes in the program as it is. I know our Call of Lawyers lawyers are still there. I thank them as a group. If you want to talk to them, they'll be here about another 5 minutes or so. They're great people in terms of wanting to assist the public and perform a really fine public service. The number is 1-800-525-9917, all the areas, criminal law, family law, estate planning, landlord-tenant, employment law, tax law, patent law, and tomorrow, Leon Bayer, if you're being chased by your creditors, 1-800-477-3111. No obligation on your part whatsoever. Tad, let me ask you, if you would, what final comments do you have? Because we're nearly out of time, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's been an exciting dialogue, an active dialogue. People are in tune with what's going on with their living situation and not being taken by surprise, and that's good and that's commendable. And I like hearing positive news that you've got repeat customers, Chuck, through your good service and works here. That with the one caller who called in and she had used your company, your service to get to the BASF and find a lawyer and have things work out. It's about helping yourself and then doing it efficiently and properly.
Sal, you've got 30 seconds for your final comments, if
you
would.
Chuck, I'd like to thank you for having me on the program.
Well,
I'd like to thank the listeners for calling in. I noticed that most of the listeners were tenants. And they're doing well to listen to programs like this, and they should inform themselves every way they can. Landlords should do that as well.
Well, yep. Both of you guys are really terrific. I want to thank you both very much for joining us on this program, Your Legal Rights. Sal Timpano, landlord-tenant attorney with office in San Francisco. Tad Devlin, business, real estate, and sharing economy attorney and partner in the San Francisco law firm of Kaufman, Dolowitz, Volokh. Thank you both very much. It's been great to have you both back on the program.
Thanks, Sal.
And I look forward to having you back in the near future. Next time on Your Legal Rights, we'll discuss whistleblower laws, programs, and protections for whistleblowers. William, my guest will be William Jungbauer, J-U-N-G-B-A-U-E-R, a board-certified civil trial specialist by the National Board of Trial Advocacy. His office is in St. Paul, Minnesota. He's a former chair of the Association of Trial Lawyers of America. So Bill Jungbauer will be our guest. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for this segment of Your Legal Rights has been made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and by the National Board of Trial Advocacy, which also funds the public radio satellite transmission of the program. The program is also funded by the Family Law Section, the Trust and Estate Section, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar. I thank you for joining us on Your Legal Rights Public Radio, and I hope you join us next time on your public radio station. I'm Chuck Finney.